From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells.
Our next guest, Peter Diamandis, is a space entrepreneur turned innovation pioneer. He's also the chairman and CEO of the XPRIZE Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that designs and manages public competitions intended to encourage technological development that could benefit humanity. Peter has co-written a new book with Stephen Kotler. It's a follow-up to two of their New York Times best-selling books, Abundance and Bold. The book that I discussed with Peter last week is called The Future is Faster Than You Think: How Converging Technologies Are Transforming Business, Industry, and Our Lives. In this interview, Peter discusses how technology is accelerating far more quickly than anyone could have imagined. During the next decade, we'll experience more upheaval and create more wealth than we have in the past 100 years, he says. Hope you enjoy Peter Diamandis and The Future is Faster Than You Think. Peter Diamandis, welcome to Cool Science Radio. Great to have you.
Pleasure.
Okay, so as someone who's been really on the bleeding edge of technology and space exploration and innovation, disruptive technologies, now you're talking about the science of converging technologies. So if we're looking at, say, how AI interfaces with 3D printing as a convergent technology, can you explain?
Sure. You know, it used to be that being an expert in any one technology, robotics, AI, 3D printing, was sufficient to really drive a new capability, start a new company. Today, it's really the need to use 3, 4, or 5 of these technologies together, we call converging technologies, to create new business models. And that creates an extraordinary differentiator. So Uber and Airbnb are business models that came because of converging technologies. YouTube happened because the digital camera came on, cheap memory came became available, bandwidth to the house became available. And when you bring different converging exponentials, you create business models, and in a lot of cases, huge business opportunities. And so my book, The Future is Faster Than You Think, looks at how these individual exponential technologies, computation, sensors, networks, AI, robotics, 3D printing, synthetic biology, AR, VR, how they're developing in the next decade, and how they're going to converge and change every industry in our country and on the planet.
So, humanity aside, because we've got a lot of catching up to do, if we're going to be part of converging technologies, how does an Uber or an Airbnb, what mistakes will they make if they don't also jump on to converging technologies and this collaboration of all these many, many different fields?
So that's a great question. What we're seeing is there are very few 100-year-old companies. Everybody's basic product and service eventually goes to zero. It's displaced and replaced, right? So Microsoft doesn't make its money anymore from the disk operating system, which is what launched it back, 40-odd years ago. It's now a whole suite of other products that it's either bought or developed. About a year and a half ago, Jeff Bezos, as chairman CEO of Amazon, at a shareholder meeting, basically said, listen, we may not be here in 30 years. We may well be displaced and disrupted. And this is sort of Darwinian evolution in the business entrepreneurial space. Companies, as they grow, begin to protect what they have, and they are taking less and less risk because risk is dangerous. And ultimately, some upstart comes along with a brand new idea that is a crazy idea. And I like to say the day before something is truly a breakthrough, it's a crazy idea. And I ask CEOs all the time, where are you trying crazy ideas? And that crazy idea turns out to be massively disruptive. And so we're going to see this continuous reinvention. There are going to be, today we have Google, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon. You know, 30 years ago, we had GE and GM as the mega giants, and we don't talk about them anymore.
Isn't that crazy? So let's talk about some of the predictions in your book. And I know that you talk a lot about the model of education, how it's just not going to work, which is something that many people say, that, you know, 20 years from now, education is going to look completely different. I love to hear about how virtual reality and AI are going to help us evolve the educational model. You talk about conversations with Plato, Shakespeare, or Abraham Lincoln using AI or VR.
Yeah, no, I love that concept as well. I'm the father of 2 8-year-old boys, so I'm going through this educational process with them right now. And, you know, the challenge is the educational system, even in the best schools or the poorest schools, resemble themselves in that it's the sage on the stage talking to a group of 20, 30, 50, 100 kids. Half are bored, half are lost. And this mechanism of educating ourselves by being in a conversation or reading a book, you know, reasonably good compared to 1,000 years ago, but there's better ways to do it. And one of the ways that that I'm excited about is we're not far from AI being able to really download all of the works of Plato or Abraham Lincoln, everything that's ever been written about them, every historian, and to create sort of a model of how they would answer questions in all of their lives. And imagine being able to put on a pair of VR goggles and find yourself in ancient Greece, and you look around and you see the Parthenon, and then over there on a slab of marble is a guy in a white toga sitting down, and you walk up and you introduce yourself. And this virtual avatar, this AI there, is in the form of what we imagine Plato look like. And he says, "Hi, I'm Plato. What's your name?" And you start having a conversation. And in this conversation, that virtual avatar would answer your questions as the best historians, all of them, not just one, all the best historians feel Plato would respond. So you can have an emotional and experiential conversation, and that will teach you far more about any historical figure or situation than just reading about it in a book.
Yeah. So the future is faster than you think is divided into three parts. One, we're talking about all of these convergent and breaking innovative technologies. Two, you're talking about some of the key industries, things that the average layperson can focus on, shopping, advertising, and entertainment. And then part three, which I really like that you include, is, I mean, take, for example, online shopping. What a huge market there is now, and many of us shop online. There's a huge byproduct that's a problem, and that is packaging. And so you look at this, and how do you see that evolving? We have a big packaging problem right now.
Yeah. You know, the challenge with packaging is twofold. One, the materials that are being used. The second is the waste of materials, because people take a small object and wrap it in a large mm-hmm. a large container, because bigger is better is the mentality. So I think there's going to be some interesting changes in how we shop. One of them is that today we shop by virtue of being influenced by advertising or our friends' opinions and so forth. Imagine in the future, if your personal AI, and I think we're all going to have a version of Jarvis from Iron Man, an AI that you give permission to listen to your conversations, watch what you're eating, look at your blood chemistries, read your emails and so forth, in a way that the more it knows about you, the better it can serve you. And you can say, "Listen, can you please replenish my fridge for me?" And your AI knows what you've always bought, what you enjoy. It's listened to conversations. It knows when you chose to eat your peas instead of your carrots, and so it orders more peas. In other words, it begins to know you better than you know yourself, and it orders the products that you desire. And I think that in that case, AI is not influenced by advertising. It's not influenced by the packaging. It's influenced by what's inside. So we're going to need to, you know, in that case, right-size things. It's also going to be an impact of the advertising industry. One of the fun things that's going to happen is, in the near future, we've read about this, seen about it, robotic delivery of products and services, drone delivery. In that case, you know, lightweight, small packaging will be advantageous for things carried by the air. But, you know, there's a lot of change that's coming. That's probably one of the smaller categories.
Yeah. The future is faster than you think, how converging technologies are transforming business, industries, and our lives. Peter, I wish I had more time with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Cool Science Radio.
My pleasure, Lynn. And if folks want, if they go to futurefasterbook.com as the website, if you order this book, you'll get a copy of Abundance and Bold, my last two books, for free. The three of them together are called the Exponential Mindset Series.
Oh, I love it. All right. Thanks, Peter.
And that was The Future is Faster Than You Think, Peter Diamandis. And wow, that interview I conducted while you were on assignment, of course, JW, but always very interesting because it was so short and because it was such an interesting book, I thought we might just kind of share our observations on some of the points. And there's a great chapter in the book about the future of food. And this is interesting for our community. The other night I went to a community visioning session at the library, and they were talking about food waste and sort of the need to address this big issue in our community. There's so much food waste. And, you know, we're sort of talking about it after the fact. You take this waste and what do you do with it? You compost it. We're not doing that currently. Should we have curbside composting and green waste and, you know, food waste? But what they talk about in the book is creating such efficiencies that you don't even need to deal with the waste because there will be no waste. And so in the chapter, The Future of Food, it starts off with a scenario that we thought we'd just kind of talk through. So it's 2030 and you're hungry. And so you've been checking out sort of the latest craze, which is these hybrid cuisines. Your AI has a few suggestions based on everything from your historical preferences to what you need nutritionally and also to your calendar. So, you know, tomorrow you might be going powder skiing. It's a powder day. So packing on a few extra calories beforehand is a good idea. So tonight's choice, Asian Yiddish fusion. And you've never tried this before, but you let your AI select these dishes, right?
AI makes the decisions. 8 minutes later, an Amazon drone shows up. It has two bags of raw ingredients. You take them, you open them up. You open up the back of your 3D food printer. There's seven bays, and you distribute, depending upon which bag goes in which bay, into your 3D printer. And there's also a vegetable you never saw. You know, what is this vegetable? And you scan a small code. It brings up a blockchain-backed food identity tracking app and tells you that it's this new kind of squash. It was originally from Vietnam, and now it's sourced at some vertical farm two blocks from your home.
Yeah, those vertical farms, very interesting. And so you take the ingredients, you pass it over to your robo-chef, which is really nothing more than a pair of articulated arms with a touch screen interface. But you don't really even need to touch that screen because the recipes were uploaded back when you first ordered your dinner. So this system fully automated, and you don't even need to hang around other than to eat it. You can go take a shower and come back down to your prepared dinner. So, you know, it sounds a little far-fetched, but actually here in 2020, just about everything in this story is already here. It may not be in your kitchen, but it will be soon.
And when you say RoboChef, it's not just a couple of arms. I mean, it's pretty sophisticated. Again, we're out in 2030, Lynn. And you're taking a look at this robot arm slicing fresh tuna with this smooth motion because the arm has 20 different motors, 24 joints, 129 sensors. The kitchen bot can mimic the movements of a human hand and arm. In fact, this bot, 2030 again, was trained using machine learning from videos of top chefs cooking at five-star restaurants.
It's a crazy world out there. And, you know, really the importance of this chapter, I think, shows the importance of the entire book. But talking about the inefficiency of food, really to talk about it is to talk about inefficiency because really it's a tale of waste and how inefficiency is built into every step of the story. And they're talking about, you know, as we know, we have, say, Thanksgiving dinner. We have guests come to visit us from hundreds of miles away. Well, the food, the meal that we're putting on our table for Thanksgiving dinner, that food has come from much further away. The average American male travels 1,500 to 2,500 miles just to get to your plate. So how do you remedy that? Well, you know, part of it is an interview we did a couple of weeks ago about plant-based food, which inspired you to make a trip to the store.
Yeah, so I mean, it just intrigues me that intrigues me that 39 million cattle and calves are slaughtered every year, and that the methane gas that comes from cow digestion accounts for 3% of greenhouse gases, and not to mention, it's just so inhumane to treat these animals the way we treat them. And the plant-based meats, the cultured meats that are coming out, you know, would make us kinder to our animals, kinder to the environment, certainly kinder to us because we won't be ingesting all those antibiotics. But yeah, Lynn, what I did was I went down to Whole Foods and I bought a pound of Beyond Beef, broke it up into four little quadrants, 4 ounces each. They were 20 grams of protein. And I made four different dishes, stir fries and a red sauce, marinara sauce, and it was absolutely delicious.
I like that. So, you know, just a mention then of with these cultured meats, they use 99% less land, 82 to 96% less water, and produce 78 to 96% less greenhouse gases. So just the efficiency gained there, because meat production right now accounts for about 70% of global water use. Pretty incredible statistics. It's all laid out in a really readable way in this book. Again, it's The Future is Faster Than You Think, How Converging Technologies Are Transforming Business, Industries, and Our Lives. I don't know what I think about a 3D printer. Does printing out my food? But it is, again, it's that convergence. And on this show over the last, how long have we been doing this show? 7 years?
7 years, yeah.
We have talked to many different people working, you know, in silos. And now there's collaboration between all of these different functions of science and bringing together, collaborating, and reducing the silos. And as he said, the converging technologies are going to change our world.
Yeah, and I think Peter did such a good job talking about these islands of exponential growth. Let's say AI, 3D printing, molecular biology. While that's going on, computational power continues with Moore's law to increase. He was saying he started a company 5 years ago, and he needed to spend $5 million on infrastructure, servers, application software, networking equipment, those sorts of things. And in the last 5 years, the cost of that went from $5 million down to $5,000. And so you can go further with your money, not to mention crowdfunding was $34 billion in 2017. They're estimating by 2023, $350 billion will be available in crowdfunding. So, you know, that's kind of exciting too, for allowing more people to have access to money and to be able to work their ideas through a crowdfunding channel. It's exciting.
Yeah, really exciting.
Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. If you missed part of the show or you want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org. under the Shows tab.
We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows wherever you find your podcasts, so you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name.
So look for KPCW Cool Science Radio and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.